Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Lambro is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a syndicated columnist. Many of you read his byline all over the country, and he's also chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, and he's also the author of the outstanding book, the classic book, Fat City. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back, and I want to talk about a little bit about the John Roberts nomination to the Supreme Court. You know, when the president first announced him, I thought, why is he nominating a CBS correspondent for the I think he was on CBS for this post, but turns out it's another John Roberts, right?
It turns out it was, yeah. John G. Roberts Jr.
Yeah, I heard this week. I don't have a life, Don. So I listened to a lot of the hearings, that the testimony that he gave, and the questions that were asked. And I actually heard Schumer, Senator Schumer of New York, who's pretty liberal, and typically an antagonistic senator when it comes to conservative judge nominations. He actually said this may be the most brilliant mind that we've ever interviewed, we've ever talked to in these proceedings.
Well, I think he sort of showed that, and that intelligence comes through in the in his answers and the way he analyzes and has to steer around what the Democrats, of course, want him to do, which is to prejudge issues and prejudge cases, which is the death knell for any judge that wants to be independent. And as he says, to address every issue and case with an open mind. He said at the very outset that I am not a politician. I have no agenda. I have no platform.
And I think I'm not running for election.
The case. But he certainly has run political circles around the Democrats who want to try to get him to break the Ginsburg rule. Of course, that was the rule. Mm-hmm. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, nominated by President Clinton.
Right.
And the Democrats back then in 93 said, you don't have to answer these questions if you're going to, about how you would rule on this and that.
She
now
refused
saying,
to answer something
Roberts
like
80. Roberts have to answer these questions.
She refused to answer something like 80 questions, and whenever she didn't answer them, you know, people like Biden said, you know, you're right to, you shouldn't answer those questions. And then he proceeded to ask the same questions and to be indignant when Roberts didn't answer those same questions.
I think people see through that and see the hypocrisy of that, and the Democrats are just getting nowhere with that kind of that line, but they've been pursuing it throughout the hearings. They're now over. There probably will be a vote on the committee next week. I think most Democrats, and perhaps all the Democrats on the panel, will vote against him, but the Republicans, of course, have the majority, and then we'll send it to the floor, and he'll be approved.
How can a guy like Chuck Schumer say this may be the most brilliant legal mind that we've ever interviewed, and then not vote for him, even when he didn't lay a glove on him in the hearing? How can he not? You talk about hypocrisy. How could he not vote for that guy?
Well, you can be brilliant and be wrong. And maybe that's what they're saying. I noticed Dean, Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, yesterday put out a statement saying that he was an incredibly intelligent and very smart and skillful man, but he was wrong on everything. So, you know, that's where they are. This comes down to ideology for them. And yesterday, when pressed, the judge said, I am not an ideologue, and that if you look back on how he has ruled on the 2 years when he's been on the Federal Appeals Court, he has addressed every case before him with an open mind and has not had you don't find an ideological track record in those cases.
Right.
So he's asking Democrats to go back and see what I've done over the last 2 years in the appeals court. And he is tied to the rule of law. That's what is the altar that he worships at, and that's how he will be his chief justice, I think.
Well, he also demonstrated to them, at least I think he did, that he's not interested in changing what they call settled law, which would be an example of which would be Roe v. Wade.
That's correct. And I think that kind of maybe surprised the Democrats, maybe surprised some conservatives, although I'm told the White House said this is going to be his position and gave them a heads up on that. But he said it's settled law, quote unquote. John Ashcroft, the Bush's first attorney general, used that very same wording when he went before his confirmation hearings. And he said precedent is very important and has to be respected. Mm-hmm. The court has set down a precedent in Roe v. Wade, and he sees it as settled law, and he sees that that the precedent of previous court decisions have to be respected. But he said that there are times when that can be overturned. So he left a little wiggle room there. But I think he satisfied a lot of people on that score, but not the Democrats, and I think certainly that you're going to see that in the vote in the committee.
How many presidents has the United States had? 43?
I believe so.
43. How many chief justices have we had? With Roberts, what will Roberts make?
Very small number.
17.
Yes.
We've had 43 presidents, ladies and gentlemen, and 17 chief justices. This is a big deal in this country, isn't it?
It is, and of course, I believe Rehnquist was the longest, if not one of the longest,
right,
the longest chief justice in our history. And it looks like Roberts, a very healthy guy, if he stays healthy, will exceed that. He'll be the 17th, you're right, chief justice, and he's going to be there for a generation and for a long, long time. So he's going to be able to remake the court into the Roberts Court and a whole new era. And then, of course, right after him, waiting in the wings, is another judicial nominee for the Supreme Court.
Right.
We don't know who that will be. That really will tip, I think, the balance of the court into in a significantly more conservative direction.
That's when the weapons will really come out. The political mayhem will really happen. It will ensue when the next nomination happens, because, as you say, that's the one that's going to really tip the court's balance, isn't it?
That's right, and I think that's what Democrats now are trying to re-examine. What's their strategy on that?
Right. Stand by, Don Lambro. We're going to be right back with our good friend Don Lambro right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Once you get it, you never want to quit.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. That's Dan Fogelberg on guitar.
Tell me a secret.
That's his voice,
tell
too.
Me a lie. Tell me the truth.
My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check out all the things you can do there if you're a small business owner or want to be, that will help you in your small business or the one you're working on. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email on Sunday. And also, don't forget our blog. Jim's blog is on the homepage or at jimsblog.biz. Don Lambro is our guest. That's another Don Lambro. Don Lambro is our guest. He's our good
there
friend.
We go.
And, yeah, that guy. And many of you read his byline in newspapers all over the country. Many of you read his byline in the Washington Times, which is his home paper. He's chief political correspondent for the Washington Times. He's been covering the Washington beat for a long time now, and a very valuable member of our brain trust. We wouldn't know what to do without him. Don, we're talking.
Can I say one more thing about,
yes,
Judge Roberts?
Yeah. I'm not leaving him. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I thought one of the most eloquent things that he said throughout these 4 days of hearings was his opening statement. Very brief. He spoke without text or notes.
All 3 days he did that.
And they were asking him about his, personal values, his beliefs. And I think in that statement, was a few sentences that I think encapsulated him and his values and his beliefs. Very, very moving expression, I think one of the most moving ever uttered by a judicial nominee, about the power of the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how when he was Solicitor General in the Justice Department, and he had to go before the Supreme Court and argue the government's position. And he says he always found that very moving, to stand before the justices and to say, I speak for my country. But then he went into private practice, and he had to argue cases against the government for clients. And he said, that's when I fully appreciated the importance of the Supreme Court and our constitutional system. He says, here was the United States, the most powerful entity in the world, aligned against my client. And yet, all I had to do was convince the court that I was right on the law and the government was wrong, mm-hmm. and that all that power and might would recede in deference to the rule and law. And then he said,
wow.
That is a remarkable thing. And when you think of it, that is an awesome image of the power of one
mm-hmm.
against the power of the collective state to compel and to punish and seize, and how one person standing there can argue before the court and overturn the government and repel the government's argument.
Isn't that
a powerful statement?
Isn't
about
that a
freedom
great
in this country?
Isn't that a great philosophy to know that our next Supreme Court Chief Justice is going to take with him to his job?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's very heartening for civilians, for citizens, I should say, and for small businesses to believe that that's the kind of attitude, because with that kind, knowing that he said that, if you should ever have to go to the Supreme Court or use a Supreme Court case, you know, to try to influence a lower court decision, that's got to make you feel a little bit better, doesn't it?
I think it does. When he said, without fear or favor, if you come before the court with a stronger argument than the government, you will win the day. And there are very few countries where you can do that. That says a lot about our constitutional system and the rule of law. I thought it was the most powerful thing he said at those hearings,
right.
And maybe the most important thing that was said throughout the hearings.
I agree with you, and I really appreciate you bringing it back to us so eloquently and so well done. That was well done. So quickly, I want to move to the next nominee. We don't know who it's going to be. We probably got a short list of 8 or 10 that you probably know who they are. I can think of a couple of three. That's where the real battle lines are going to be drawn, isn't it?
It is. I have no clue to who it will be,
It'll be at least a woman or a minority, won't it?
One would think so. Yes, but, you know, I think Bush is going to, I think he's wide open on this, and I think he's going to pick someone he thinks is the best person to fill the Sandra Day O'Connor vacancy. But I think the fight over Roberts, of course, is a prelude bout, and a big one, to that one. And so the Democrats have to think, well, if we don't fight Roberts, how can we really fight the next one who's going to be as conservative as Roberts? Doesn't that weaken our case? So
right.
I think they are twisting and struggling to figure out what is the right stance to take when they go
right.
to the Senate floor.
But it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I mean, and the Republicans have the votes. I want to ask you another question about the court situation, Don. Do you have any insight as to why Scalia was passed over for the Chief Justice slot?
Well, I think Scalia is he's one of the most brilliant minds on the court. But Scalia belongs in a category, unlike Roberts, where he wants to overturn a lot of things and push the court into another orbit. Whereas he's someone who is a revolutionary
mm-hmm.
And brilliant at it, and he's absolutely needed on the court. But I think Bush sensed that that was not needed now. What we needed was continuity, and that continuity was someone like Rehnquist, a conservative jurist
right.
who could lead the court.
I'm almost
divisive, but someone who could retain the conservative path on which Rehnquist placed the court.
Don, I'm out of time. I got to stop you, Don. Quickly, do you know whether Scalia was upset because he was passed over?
I don't think so. I don't think he ever thought he was going to be chosen.
I got you.
Because I don't think so. And
maybe he'd rather be an instigator as a leader. Thank you, Don, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
You can find his articles, by the way, at WashingtonTimes.com. Quick break. Right back with RKC and Cuddy after these messages. It's 29 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.